Doncic the rebound, leading the break, Paul nipping at his heels. Outside, what a pass, Washington, oh! That was beautiful!
Top play nominee, Luka Doncic, somehow ends up with 28 points, but the exciting storyline is... it's a Clay Day. Game one at the AAC as the Mavericks eventually run away from the San Antonio Spurs. Good morning, Metroplex. Off to a really fast start. 7 o'clock hour. Not going to be any different here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Thank you for turning it on, leaving it on. Cowboys, 49er, pregame on Sunday at 4. Brad and Babe with the call. Mike Tirico will join us at 9 a.m. to preview. Coming up the rest of this hour, a Dane Cook ticket giveaway, our final one of the week. Diego Pavia, Vanderbilt quarterback. Got the shirt on the fan cam to rub it right in the Longhorns' face of Bobby Belton, Peyton Russell.
Keep that same energy. Keep that same energy Monday.
Well,
Sean.
We'll keep the same energy during the degenerate. 18-point favorites, all right?
Wasn't Bama like 22?
I mean, 18.5. 18.5.
Uh-oh. There's a little tease for Choppy at 8:20 this morning. So Pavia will join us at 7:30, and then we'll pick the San Fran game at 8. But Klay Thompson sets a record for a Mavs debut. Most threes made with 6. He scores 22 points, and he was loving life last night after the game.
Well, the feelings were a lot of nerves, anxiousness. But after a few minutes and you see one go through, you feel great. And a great debut. It's only one game in October, but it feels good just to get the first one out the way. And setting a record is always a great feeling and something I'll never take for granted.
So, Bobbo got the over quarter out. Did anyone respond to my text, by the way, of recording TNT?
I did not see.
I didn't see anybody respond to that.
Awesome. Great communication. Almost like we've been...
You really needed an hour pregame show? They really needed an hour pregame show?
It's their last... Shut up. I don't want to hear you talk about TNT. You're a hater.
I thought... No. I like the show. Again, I like the show. I reject that it's like...
They better put them on for an hour with how much they're overpaying them. It's for 20 a year?
20. It's crazy
money. Are you kidding me?
Crazy money.
And with all the takes they're firing off right
now.
They're hot taking.
Ooh, man, had to turn it down, though. I can't hear Harlan screaming for 3 hours in a first game of the year. And I love him. I love him. I think he's great. But game one, I don't need a right between the eyes.
Bobbo had the recorder going for NBA pregame, and Charles Barkley was not feeling the new Mavs acquisition.
He was the best two guard in NBA for a span of X amount of years, offensively and defensively. He's a future ballot, first ballot Hall of Famer. Everybody like Klay Thompson, but no player gets better with age. Let's stop that. And he got the two bad breaks with the ACL and the Achilles. And that's the reason the Warriors wanted to move on. He's not the same player. He's had a great, great career. He's a great dude. The father time is undefeated. And you factor in those two major injuries. They're not like an Achilles and an ACL. Those are really bad injuries. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch those guys. But the old Klay Thompson is not – he's not
walking. So you don't think he can help them?
I do not.
At all?
I do not.
That's interesting.
What? I do not think he can help them at all. The only thing crazier was Shaq saying Chris Paul helps the Spurs zero because they're a championship organization and they can't win the championship. It's like, we're in different eras, big fella. We're in different times. Their goal is not the championship. It is to help and develop the young players. And then Bobby stayed up for the post to see if Charles would backtrack and change his mind a little bit after the awesome Klay debut.
I think they're middle-of-the-road team in the Western Conference.
Really?
Yeah.
They went to the finals last year. I think they got lucky last year
because of matchups. Because of matchups.
Okay.
Everything worked out perfect for them. But this year, I think Phoenix is better. New Orleans is going to be better. The Lakers are going to be solid. Memphis is going to be good. I think Dallas is the bottom of the West 6-7-8 seed.
Really? 6-7-8. They were a 5 seed last year.
Are they going to be there somewhere around there again this year?
Well, 5 is not 6-7-8.
Yeah, well, they're going to be 6-7-8.
Look, he lost me. If he had said Denver, because like I do, look, the Mavericks did get the benefit of Minnesota beating Denver. I don't think they would have beat Denver in the West Finals.
Agreed. Or can't disagree.
Right. We don't know. Yeah. But I think I would have picked Denver. I would have picked Denver. So like if you were to say, look, Denver got upset last year, it was a title hangover. All right, you know, like they, yeah, I still think Denver's the favorite. I would put Denver as the favorites to win the West. Not, I would not put Oklahoma City there. But I mean, to have the Mavs anywhere outside the top four in the West is kooky talk. That's all it is.
Who doesn't he like? Is he not an Adelson guy? Does he have issues with Clay specifically?
I feel like they've never truly given Luka the outright love. It's always like, yeah, he's good, but he doesn't make everyone better. That's usually the consistent thing about Doncic. This sounds a little late in my all-time favorite sports show. All right, I'm getting emotional watching them every single night. Last season of Inside the NBA. But this sounds lazy, like his take of 2 years ago, Charles nailed the take of the Mavs' lucky run with who they went through. Not last year, Bobby.
No, last year they beat the Clippers, which obviously Clippers were compromised, but they beat an Oklahoma City team that just about everybody was picking to beat Dallas, it felt like. Then they go through, they beat Minnesota. They go on, they were great on the road last year, which road playoff games in general, if you're playing big time, if you're giving big time performances in road playoff games, I don't care who you're playing, you didn't do anything easy. You didn't take an easy way. You were competitive in the toughest possible environment. I just wonder if he's got too much of Boston on his brain from last year, that's still too prominent in his head of how dominant Boston looked over Dallas.
Or maybe the Mavs are just a team that people don't pay close enough attention to. Bassick said in Stephen A's preview, like, they get forgotten. They get lost. Stephen A. Smith's preview the other day, he took five or six teams to bring up. He's usually destroying, laughing, and hating on the Lakers.
Yeah.
And now he's got the Lakers above us.
No one's dying.
He's the first one.
It's because of Bronny. He loves Bronny.
First or second one accurately to call out Zion's weight. And now the Pelicans. I think the Pelicans, Zion is in shape. I think they can make a lot of noise and surprise. But now the Pelicans are above us? The Mavs are super, super solid.
He's had his moments where he's been pro-Dallas. But really, the Barkley being anti-Dallas has been going on for 22, really 23 has. Years. Yeah. He used to be public enemy number one during those Dirk Nash Finley years.
Really?
Oh gosh, he was bad. Big time. People hated him here in Dallas.
Soft?
Dirk is soft. That's a phony team. They don't play it.
I think he picked the Mavs to make the finals last year.
This was
when the playoffs started.
And in the 2011, you know, he picked them to win every series as it went along.
He hated the Don Nelson era Mavericks a ton.
He did, but I'll tell you, because I was here too.
Well,
you were not here, and you didn't pick up on that. So I wonder how much of that is just home team sensitivity.
Well,
like, you know, nobody picks up. Yeah. We're going to watch the World Series this weekend, and no one's going to pick up that John Smoltz doesn't like a certain team. There's going to be a certain team he doesn't like, but we're not going to pick up on that because we don't have that hometown sensitivity.
What is going on with Kawhi Leonard and his trainer?
This is weird. Okay, so Kawhi's trainer was fired by the Clippers. This is the guy who was his trainer going back to San Diego State. His name is Randy Shelton. And in 2017, when Kawhi was with San Antonio, the Clippers had already known that he was going to become a free agent, and they wanted to recruit him in 2019. So they contacted the trainer to try to go ahead and get behind closed doors and recruit Kawhi for him, or for them, and also use him as recon on Kawhi's knees and injuries to see if they should sign him or there's a red flag or whatever. Well, Kawhi goes to Toronto in a trade. The Clippers hire him officially to lure Kawhi. He does. He helps. And when Kawhi signs, according to the trainer, they immediately diminish his role and keep him separated from everything and essentially just let his contract expire. Like, they pay him out, let his contract expire.
Mm.
Which is very, very dirty.
The opposite of Brady's trainer, Guerrero, who they couldn't get rid of for a while.
So this dude says, I left my small business that I had in San Antonio to go there. I left a good job with San Diego State to go there. And basically his whole world got flipped upside down. Big yikes to the Clippers, because that's behind the scenes tampering, right? You know, you're hiring like somebody else, and he's using
them. Getting Brunson's
right.
It's like, dad.
Absolutely. And then, you know, obviously to do that, and then as soon as Kawhi signs, like, yep, we don't need you anymore, he gets thrown out.
Well, he's all, like, a big part of this lawsuit is essentially a malpractice claim. He says that he voiced concern saying they're doing unsafe things to his health, to his, and when I voiced the concerns, they were like, you need to be out of here. That it was like it was basically a silencing of concern to unsafe medical practices. Like, we all know Kawhi is the king of not trusting teams and what they say about him. I can't imagine if Kawhi was sitting there, he would just idly sit by and like, oh yeah, let the guy go who has been saying that they're not handling my injury right.
And who's basically been the guy that I go to for a decade.
Let's get you set for the World Series. Finally, we have gotten here. Choppy, you were out while I was kind of picking. I was trying to figure out how to fix the schedule as well. You missed it when Sandler was in, because I hate, and it's bad for baseball, that it is starting on Friday and Saturday. But tickets are out of control. The matchups are set. You may be arrested. Game one tonight.
Game one is tonight. I'm very excited. Now, prepare for this amazing factor that the Dodgers have absolutely no pitching. Like, they're going to have guys out there you've never heard of.
Go home, Dodgers.
They're worried about Jack Flaherty's dip in velocity. They've got so many more offensive good things about them as a whole during this postseason than the Yankees do. The Yankees have, you know, really hit a lot of home runs against a good Cleveland bullpen, but they don't hit well with runners in scoring position. The Dodgers hitting over 300. The Yankees hitting under 200 in the playoffs with runners in scoring position. The Dodgers don't chase nearly as much as the Yankees do. That's how they drew 40 walks in like the last five games of the Mets series. And the Yankees have a lot more strikeouts in them. But I'm with you. They butchered the schedule here. I know they're trying to miss football, but Friday, Saturday, game one and game two, and then Friday, Saturday, game six and game seven, that's a really tough spot to be in. I mean, people have things to do. Like, you know, I love baseball. I grew up watching the Yankees, and I still, like, you lose it after you moved away for 30 years, but, you know, you still follow it a little bit.
Yeah.
I will barely get to watch game one and game two. I got my kids this weekend. I got my kids. They want to go to the high school football game. They want to do this, that. When you get into Friday and Saturdays, you're really begging for people to have other things to do.
What's your pick?
I think the Dodgers are the better team. My problem with the Dodgers, they have no pitching. Like, the Yankees have much, much better pitching. I think this thing goes six or seven. I think the Dodgers probably win in seven.
With no pitching.
Their offense is so good. It's so good. The Yankees are going to have to win both Cole starts.
The get-in prices, like earlier in the week, game one, 1,000, game two, 1,000, game three, 1,200, 1,100, 1,100, 1,200.
Oh, baby.
I got a great deal for you, Sean. SeatGeek, where they will sort best value. I was like, what's the best value to go to game one in L.A.? Well, you can get two seats right behind the Dodgers on deck circle. It's only going to cost you $121,012.
Stop it.
Choppy says he turned down tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. $350, too.
For New York?
Well, it would have been game three, four, or five. Now, I'm still working on game six back in L.A.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm still working on that because the guy's got tickets to all seven games.
Wow.
He gets them through his buddy, and he bought them, so he gets them at face value. So I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
Which,
go in there next to Francesa, do the show from WFAN Studios in New York.
Mm.
Or Michael K. Have him hook you up. Your boy. Michael,
absolutely.
There we go.
It's my concern is I don't know that I feel safe going to a Dodger game. You get stabbed. You get stabbed in LA. I have no desire to do that.
All right.
So that's that.
There it is. Game one of the World Series is set for tonight. Thank y'all for turning it on, leaving it on. Absolutely packed Friday show. Our Dane Cook ticket giveaway. Diego Pavia, Vandy quarterback, with maybe the surprise team of the year in Vandy, taking on Texas tomorrow. And Dak Prescott has played how well so far? Number four answers that question in the Commercial Free Expressway next. Commercial Free Expressway starts right now here on DFW Sports Station. Y'all have been absolutely incredible with all the Jerry drama over the past 2 weeks. Thank you for turning it on, leaving it on right now. For that reason, Let's not make you wait any longer. PayPay, let's hook everyone up with our final Dane Cook tickets of the week.
All right, Tolos, right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Dane Cook at Majestic Theater in Dallas Friday, November 1st. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All right, we're going to pick the Cowboy game at 8 o'clock. I have no feel for this thing. I'm going to need major, major help. No feel at all. But Micah Parsons and Deron Bland did not practice yesterday. Brandon Aubrey still on jury duty. And John Stevens tore his ACL, Bobby.
Yeah, and it's bad because it's not just tearing the ACL. It's the same knee that he just recovered. It's basically a year later where he injures it again. That would tell me that's going to be really hard for him to bounce back and be the type of athlete that they thought he could be if he gets those back-to-back injuries like that. But they were really high on him. They thought, like, as a dynamic playmaker, that he was probably their most athletic and fluid, dynamic player there in the tight end room. And so it felt like they had plans for him. I was curious why early on in the season he was never active. He was never getting on the field. And that was one of the things I wondered if coming out of the bye week when they were evaluating what are some things we can change up, some different tweaks we can make. I think he was going to be part of the plans. And so for him to tear his ACL now is just really unfortunate timing.
Kyle Shanahan, hopeful that Debo will play out of the hospital with pneumonia.
Yeah, okay.
Pneumonia ain't what it used to be.
No, well, dude, it's not. I don't think I've ever had it.
Well, see, that's what I wanted to ask, is that have either of you ever had pneumonia? You clearly haven't. Sean, have you?
I don't think so.
Peyton, have you ever had pneumonia?
He's busy.
Okay, oh, that's right, the phones, I forgot. This is something where pneumonia is not something where it's like, well, here's a Z-Pack and you can just get right back out there. He's going to go apparently from hospitalization for pneumonia to playing less than a week later. That just seems like the insanity of football perspective to me. I'm just like, yeah, he's fine. He'll be good. This isn't something like where you can just, oh, you know, you've got a muscle issue or some inflammation. Well, we can give you this. We can give you this injection or whatever. This is fluid in your lungs and an inability to like saturate oxygen the way you need to.
Yeah.
I have no clue how this. I wonder if it's just Kyle Shanahan kind of screwing with them a little bit. But if he's out there playing, I mean, that I don't know how much he's going to be able to play without getting completely winded. You feel the after effects for weeks later.
He'll get one play a series, right? He'll be out there. I mean, any go route, which is not, I mean, that's, you know, but like anytime he's at full speed for more than maybe 15 yards, I mean, he'll be gassed.
He's huffing oxygen and ending up in the hospital. And then they're like, yeah, but he's good. You can put him out there.
Dak on his play through the first six games, everyone give me a grading on the Franklin LaFranco injury attorney text line, 877-881-1053. Dak said, I would say I've played average, and average is not good enough right now by any means. It's never been good enough for me. I can't say that I've been happy or excited after any of these games that I've played. So that is Dak Prescott assessing his own game. This is Dak responding. CD was 5 seconds responding to Troy Aikman's wide receiver criticism. What did the quarterback think about the quarterback who they really like each other? I know Aikman is a huge fan of Prescott.
Truly didn't see everything that he said. There's criticism. That's his job, right? He gets paid to analyze things, to comment on things. So everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I think myself, CD, this team, everybody would say we have to do better. It's obvious, as I just said, looking at the self-scouting over the six games, we have to do better. Whether he got personal, whether he went too far, once again, I mean, the guy gets paid to do that, and he's doing a job, and once again, a job that he knows is going to create ruckus. The last thing I'm allowed to do is create division inside this building.
That is how you answer that question. Picture perfect.
Yeah, and I mean, it's clearly, it's probably easier for Dak to talk about it because it wasn't directed at him the way it was to CD. So I get there's going to probably be more emotion involved for CD, and he's probably just thinking, you know, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And so he just basically said, we got to be better, but I'm done answering questions about it now. And good. Okay, great. Make sure to prove him wrong then. Go out there this week and look, I don't think it's been the issue of quit that Troy seemed to insinuate it was. I don't think that's been as much of an issue. I think he's just been taken out of the game by a lot of defenses. But show him that that's incorrect. Like, go out there and play at full speed and don't have any bad body language or any loafing or anything else. It should be concerning, though, when two players who have played the game and know what practice habits look like, Troy Aikman, Nate Newton, when we played that other stuff, they look at it and they think you do look like you're loafing it.
Choppy, let me ask you this question that I thought of over the past couple of days. Is San Fran's injury situation better or worse for Mike McCarthy?
Well, I mean, it's worse if they lose, for sure. I think I know where you're going with this, that if he beats them, they're just going to say, well, they were hurt.
And if you lose, like if you lose by 17 somehow with no San Fran weapons, is that it? Is that it? Like, is it worth, how much worse is it to lose to them by, let's just say six, than lose by 17 with a full roster? And we're still saying, well, a lot of people are saying Jerry and Steven didn't give you the horses.
Well, you could say that, and there's injuries, especially, you know, the defense gets gashed. There's injuries there, but there's injuries on San Fran's offense, so that hopefully is a wash. But, look, you could take it one of two ways with that. You could either say you're not motivating and preparing the players, or their scheme just doesn't mesh with your scheme. Or I guess the third way, and this would never happen here because – you would never put the blame on the players here. We don't do that. We're against that. We don't believe in blaming the players for the ills. It has to be the coaches. So I guess you could go down that road, which would be the least of the three.
Like, obviously, Mike would prefer for San Fran to be missing all these people, but how much worse would a loss be, Bobby? And does it matter by how it matters by how much? But how much does it matter?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to – obviously getting beat by 40 is worse than getting beat by 3.
Yes.
Like, 40 is demoralizing, but I don't think 3 they're taking –
what's your point?
I don't think a 3-point loss, they're taking moral victories out of that.
Right.
So I do think that even if they win ugly and they don't deserve to win, but they pull out a victory and it's against a depleted San Francisco team, I think that's a bigger psychological boost for them than any other potential game that exists on their schedule, even with a depleted San Francisco team.
If the Cowboys are going to lose, the best possible thing for McCarthy is Dak plays well and the defense just gets gashed. Purdy is just out of sight, because then the pressure would be pointed to Zimmer.
Yeah, I mean,
in the immediacy, the focus would be on Mike Zimmer in the immediacy.
There's so much about this week that's been interesting to me in terms of the way that they're talking. Like they seem, I don't know if it's bluster or if it's
like they're reborn.
Fake it till you make it. But they genuinely seem like we identified something. Like we figured some stuff out and we have a mode of attack and we feel comfortable in it. I thought it was really fascinating when we asked Mike about the formation width, about San Francisco and Dallas and how opposite they are, that he mentioned, he's like, I'm very aware of it.
Yeah, we weren't asking to attack.
No, but that he like basically said, like, I have a hyper awareness of how different that almost like that was part of the discussion this week in terms of schematically how different things are, and that they have a real awareness of it within their game plan. And so I don't know, they seem confident, and maybe it's just playing loose and playing free and feeling like you got nothing to lose, but there's a lot of confidence there.
How different has the offense been this year versus the one in the second half after the San Fran game last season, and why would it be different, and how is it different?
It's the two most important spots on the offensive line are rookies, I think, and they've dialed some stuff back. Obviously, they've not been as good. Like they're not getting, you're getting guys who are just not playing as well in a lot of instances, and they've missed Cooks, and they've got the rookie offensive lineman. So I think that's changed some things with the game plan, how they want to kind of reserve things a little bit while they get those guys comfortable. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's still a lot of it, too, where it's like guys
are playing as well. So he's had to change it. Mike
would say he had to change it. I don't know. I think there may be people say, like within that team would say, let's trust him. All right, let's just figure it out. But there have been times Dak has looked like he doesn't trust the protection in front of him the way he's playing.
Let's pick this one. I'm having a really, really hard time. Do y'all think the Cowboys can pull off the upset, finally get the win over the depleted, we think, 49ers? Picks at 8 o'clock. Right now, a very, very special guest on the home of America's team. I think they are maybe the surprise of the college football season, and they take on the mighty Texas Longhorns tomorrow in Nashville. He is the quarterback of Vanderbilt, Diego Pavia, here on Sean and RJ on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning, man. How are you?
I appreciate you guys having me. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
We're doing well. Who did you grow up rooting for, NFL team and quarterback?
I'm a big Johnny Manziel guy.
Okay.
And then NFL, I like the Patriots, you know, Tom and Bill Belichick won a lot of Super Bowls. I was a big Patriots fan. But I'm also a big Kyler Murray fan too. So I like the Cardinals.
Okay. I got to start off with something, that I witnessed for myself. I went to the win
Monday.
Did you say Monday?
No, my bad.
I thought he was referring to the Jerry Jones interview. Gave me nightmares and flashbacks. So I've been to a lot of football games, obviously sporting events. Never, Diego, have I experienced a tailgating that I did with your family before the holy mackerel. That was an all-time pre-party. And if I wasn't old, washed up, and had a flight the next morning back here to Dallas, I would have paid to post party with you guys after the Bama win. Does your family always get down like that?
They love it. They love it. That's like their thing. You know, just when we win a football game, that's what they love to do. But yeah, they're a big part of the reason why we're winning right now. They bring the energy.
I turned to someone that was with the school and I said, forget about the game. Y'all better replace this energy from this family. When Diego goes to the league, whatever happens, y'all, because otherwise Vanderbilt choppy. What is usually Vanderbilt? You're an SEC Tennessee guy.
It's somebody else's home field. It's like an extra home game a lot of times.
Yeah.
But it isn't that way this year.
Everyone was sitting around in their fold-out chairs like a Little League game, and here are the Pavias. We got barbecue. They got their own DJ. They got their own camera crew. Are you filming this for Netflix? I thought it was the SEC Network, but I saw a camera on your family the entire time.
Yeah, they're doing a Netflix show.
Wow.
I think around the SEC, and they said they're going to be on my family again this weekend. So,
you know, wow.
Same deal. So we got to show up and show out.
Now, is that distracting? Because, you know, we had a lot of talk about the distraction with this week with the Cowboys.
No, they've been doing this since I was a kid. It's normal to me.
Yes.
You know, Diego, after you guys beat Alabama, there was obviously, you were a viral sensation out there on social media of just like, whoa, who's this scrappy, fiery competitor here? You've got all sorts of new bandwagon fans like Sean Sharif here across from me.
I'm wearing, on the home of the Cowboys, I'm wearing my Vanderbilt shirt right now, Diego, just so you know. It's on YouTube.
So Diego, two-part question. One, How wildly different is life today compared to, like, let's say a month ago before the Bama game? And what would you say to just kind of, I guess the best word for it would be the spineless bandwagoning of Sean Sharif here. And do you accept him as a fan?
No, I do. you know, just coming from a small town, like, I feel like I'm just the same kid that I was a month ago, like you said. But I feel like I'm in contact more with I guess higher ups, you can say, but you know, that's just all part of the story. You know what I mean? It's just getting my name out there. I want to be the first pick, the first overall draft pick, and so I've got to keep working for it.
Diego, I want to know about like the NIL process and everything, and like the behind the scenes, like what goes. I know you're supposed to go into the portal and then teams contact you or whatever, but is it really like the Wild West like we make it out to be?
It depends where you're at for sure. I've heard some pretty crazy stories, but NIL dictates a lot of, you know, if you're going to win or lose nowadays. And you know, if you have a lot of NIL, you can recruit a lot of talent.
Why did you think that Vanderbilt was the fit for you?
I don't want
want you guys to think that I came here for NIL, because I'll tell you right now, I'm the lowest. I know for a fact I'm the lowest paid quarterback in the SEC by a long shot, and so I'm just here because of Coach Beck and Jerry Hill. So like they brought me along from New Mexico State, and so I'm just very thankful and blessed. And I had more NIL opportunities, you know, at other places, but I wanted to go to the best opportunity for me to, you know, compete. You know, they know me, I know them. Coach Kill's going to play the best player regardless of who he knows and how he knows him. So that's why I like Jerry Kill so much. Like, if I wasn't the best, I wouldn't be playing, you know?
Yes. The offensive game plan I thought was masterful against Bama. When we were down there on the field, I was like, let me find Jerry Kill. I ran into him in the elevator of y'all's hotel because he's got Texas ties. He's a TCU guy, a big-time name, so it obviously makes sense that you're giving him his praise. Diego Pavia, Vanderbilt QB, getting ready for the Longhorns tomorrow here on The Fan.
Yeah, Diego, so you've got this Texas team, which is obviously coming off of a pretty humbling loss to Georgia. And Georgia was in that spot a couple weeks ago, losing to Bama, and seems like they've come out kind of angry. Do you guys have any sort of concern about that, about getting a stirred up hornet's nest that you'll be playing against?
This is any given Saturday. Like, just how it is in the NFL. It's a business. You know what I mean? So whoever's better Saturday will win the football game.
I loved and this is before I even really got down the well of rooting for you guys, because my godson is a tight end on the team, which we'll get to in a second. But your quote after Virginia Tech, and people said, this is a chip on the shoulder guy, and the chip is never getting off the shoulder. Where do you have a chip on your shoulder, and where did that come from?
For sure. I feel like it just comes from being doubted. Like, I'm still doubted. People don't think, you know, that I'm a first-round quarterback. Like, I'm telling you right now, I'm a first-round quarterback. I can do anything, like, that I put my mind to. And so I just gotta, like I said, I keep up showing it on Saturdays, and, you know, eventually they'll realize.
Diego, you know, in the immediate aftermath, there were several attempts to coin some sort of a nickname or find some free. What is your favorite one that you've seen? Which nickname are you owning that you like?
there's a few good ones. I think the student section came up with, like, Peso Pavia, and, you know, I'm Mexican, so that one's kind of funny, and you know, I like that one too. But, you know, there's a lot of good ones, but yeah, that one's the one that stands out.
When you guys were prepping for Bama that week, because obviously everybody had you guys as a big underdog, and it was, well, look at this shock. When you guys were prepping for Bama that week, did you guys have a sense of, like, oh no, there's some stuff we can do, like we can see on tape, we can take advantage of this team a little bit?
That's every team. I don't even remember. Bama's been so long ago. I don't even remember. But, like, yeah, that's every team. You know, every team has holes in defense. You can't guard every inch of grass on the defensive side. So whatever you bring, there's problems that you give up, and that's literally just any defense that you can run in the world.
There is a rumor. There was an internet rumor that Vanderbilt put up nets. So right. The fans couldn't rush again. I thought I saw that dispelled. That wasn't true. Are there nets put up in case something else crazy happens tomorrow?
I haven't seen the nets. I haven't been in the stadium. You know, we don't practice in the stadium, so yeah. I won't know until I see the field tonight.
Are you going to be part of carrying another goalpost out of the stadium if you guys win?
I don't know yet. I'm just focused on the game and get it play by play, and then when the time comes, you know, we'll see what happens.
Diego, my godson is Bryson Coleman, freshman tight end, and he had told me early on while going through practice, he goes, this quarterback, I was like, what's the quarterback like? He goes, he's a gamer. I think we've all seen that play out. Give me a little scout report on my godson. How's he coming along? How are we looking at some possible playing time? You guys got a stacked tight end room already with some monsters out there. So what can you say about Bryce?
All I got to say is they'll hear his name being called in the NFL draft. Give it probably like 2 years, he's going to put a little bit of weight on. That kid's a freak.
Hell yeah, absolutely. Now, look, I saw a bunch of your merchandise after the Bama game, all over ESPN. This was being sold for that. That was being sold for this. Where can we find out more about Diego Pavia? We're going to get the Netflix thing. What are your socials? What else do you have going on for the brand?
My social is, my Instagram is Diego10Pavia. I got a NIL brand, you know, DPavia NIL Management on Instagram as well. We post a lot of stuff. And then, you know, just the only thing you got to know is you'll see me playing my ass off on Saturdays.
There he is. Awesome. Congratulations, man. Please let me attend the tailgate with the family a couple more times before you're playing on Sundays. Best of luck tomorrow. Stay healthy and keep killing it. You are an absolute gamer. Thank you for the time.
Yes, sir. God bless you guys. Thank you, guys.
Diego Pavia joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline here on DFW Sports Station, Vanderbilt, Texas, tomorrow.
I do not understand the line.
18.5. Don't Joe Fortenbaugh on ESPN. He's the one who said, take Vandy with the points against Bama. He just said right now, take Vandy with the points against Texas.
I don't know who this Fortenbaugh guy is. I don't know about him. He doesn't have a BetQL show. I do. I'm saying the same thing. In fact, you know, we recorded our BetQL show last night, and that was my best bet of the whole weekend.
Really?
A little foreshadowing.
What do you think the line should be?
12.5.
Okay.
I think it's. I think Texas wins. I don't think that it's. I mean, it is in doubt because I mean it's a road game. They're never easy. I think Texas clearly is the better team. They have athletes that Vanderbilt doesn't have. I mean, but then again, so did Alabama. So we've seen them already beat a team that only a handful of players, you know, could even start for.
Yeah.
You know, but at the end of the day, when you do have a quarterback, and this is such a quarterback-driven sport now, college football, that changes everything. I mean, one player, literally, this is not even 5 years ago where you just stacked a better team, you were going to win. Now it's about how good your quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, they went on the road to Missouri. They lost that game, but they lost by three.
Mm-hmm.
The other loss they have was a four-point loss to Georgia State. It's not like they've gotten just blown out of the water at any point. And then they've beaten Virginia Tech. And I know Virginia Tech's not what they've been in the past, but they've beaten a big-time college program, beat Alabama, beat Kentucky. So, I mean, 18.5 might be a little strong.
And Kentucky had, you know, just beat Ole Miss. You know, Georgia State, that was very early in the year. They hadn't really... It was like the third game. They hadn't really figured out. It's very true in the NIL era. You know, when you have transfers and stuff, that you're basically meeting. You meet these guys in July half the time, so it's a little different.
Okay, so there it is. Diego Pavia joining us from Vandy on DFW Sports Station. Let's clean up everything left over from the week in the junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it.
Roberto set us up for Zach Wolchuk yesterday on the G-Bag Nation.
Okay, so this was either yesterday or Wednesday. I can't remember. We were joking around, and you had made a reference. We were talking about the crying drunk. The
emotional.
The individual who gets drunk, they get a little weepy. They, I love you, man, and gets a little emotional in their feels. And you said, that's Wolchuk. Here at the station, that's Wolchuk.
I wish that was you.
And no.
If you could take 40% of Wolchuk when you're buzzed and get like warm. You really need to smoke weed. You really need edibles and weed in the worst way.
He's kidding, kids that are getting dropped off for school.
Yeah,
right?
Sorry. Gummy bears.
Yeah.
Gummy bears.
So this was yesterday, and boy, they were at Richardson Bar and Grill, which was great. Got to talk to a lot of different listeners, a lot of big fans of the morning show that were out there. It was a great turnout at Richardson Bar and Grill. But because they're out at a bar and grill, Zach decided to partake of a little bit of the available alcohol. So we're about 4.5 hours into this show, and Zach had been drinking pretty consistently.
Are you supposed to like be saying all this?
Yeah, it's mentioned on the air. Oh. They were talking on the air about him taking
what
shots.
What the hell happened to the rules of this radio station? There are no rules. Before this year, I can think of like two drinking incidents in my 15 years here. Richie Witt house party.
Yep. And then
but that was a holiday show.
And then Dawson postgame.
And then Dawson. And now you have Brian Broaddus.
I drowned it in Tito's today.
There's bottles of liquor being consumed here out of the freezer. Like, I just didn't know, like, that we could just do this. It's amazing.
Apparently we can.
Awesome.
We'll see.
So Zach was getting a little slurry by the last hour, but they were doing a segment, the Around the Bases, and Dawson had teed him up on a couple things, but said, hey, the five bats that the Rangers can go acquire. Well, Wolchuk then dives into the top 10 most clutch World Series performers or something like that, which is fine. It was one of the things they could have talked about. But Dawson, at the end of it, is just, he's wrapping up the segment. And as he's wrapping it up, he mentions, hey, I'd like to maybe do that segment in the future. And that's when Insecure Wolchuk came out.
We got to get to the bats that the Rangers can use. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, a lot of good bats out there.
Should I have just done that?
Offense. No, this was great. This is a good baseball conversation.
Way to read the room. Did I handle that?
That was some of the best broadcasting you've done over the last 2 hours.
Did I handle the segment poorly?
Honestly.
I thought you had good pacing in it myself.
Honestly, I didn't even get to the audio, and I apologize, Lucius.
With how far above the legal limit you are right now,
yeah.
that was like a Barry Bonds into the bay type of dong ball you just did.
You guys aren't making me feel any better. Was that terrible?
I'm being serious.
I feel like you're busting my freaking balls.
Well, I am, while also giving you a compliment. That's best way that we do it.
Would you like a ride home after this?
If it was ass, my dude, tell me.
It was not.
It was not.
No, it was good. Good
it was really, the pacing of it was excellent.
I love it. If it was ass, my dude, tell me.
Yeah.
My favorite game to do at remotes, G-Bag remotes, I always, when I'm talking to listeners, I was like, do you want to take part in my favorite game? Like, what's that? I was like, watch this. And I was like, let's just stand over here. I'm going to point at Zach. And I'm just talking to you and talking about me pointing at Zach. But Zach is going to see me pointing at him. And he's going to think we're talking about him. And the rest of the segment, he's going to be in his head.
It's almost as if you control people, but you can't be trolled back. Amazing. By the way, exactly. Vegas has Shador Sanders, the favorite to be the number one pick. Will Chambers, little small victory for you. What's the other clip?
No, that was the way. It was the drop of him saying.
It was ass, my dude.
It was ass, my dude. Liquor before meal? Did Zach do the right thing or wrong thing?
Liquor before beer with in the clear. Liquor before meal. The restaurant's going to steal.
No.
Right, whatever. Yeah, it didn't
is
make sense.
Is that the saying?
But, no, it's not the saying. What they say is that's very bad. If you want to go out to eat, do not get liquor. Hard liquor before you eat.
Okay.
All right?
I believe in this as a principle in having the hard liquor first.
Oh, I love the hard liquor.
I don't want to drink beer before my meal.
I know. It fills you up.
Yeah. I want to burn away my stomach to be hungrier.
Yeah. But what they say is it destroys.
Yeah, it does work.
Yeah, they say it destroys the dinner. While it may make you more hungry, it dulls your senses quicker. So they say anything that includes a alcohol content of 40 to 50%, so 80 to 100 proof, will dull your senses, blocking the proteins that create saliva in your mouth. So while you have more room to eat, you don't taste the food as well.
Okay.
So take that for what it's worth. But, you know, now if I'm going to go have a random meal, but if I'm going to go nice steakhouse, I want to really enjoy the food.
I think this is BS.
I agree.
I enjoy meals 10 times more whenever I've had liquor. I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like I do too. The study shows that it
can make some
subpar
food probably taste better. It can probably elevate food.
Yeah.
And then maybe after drinking, you can have a little fun. As Rex Ryan went on the Ryan Clark podcast and was asked about his kink.
I love my wife's feet. Like, I don't know what it is, but if a chick's got jacked up feet, I'm out. I don't care how gorgeous. I'm out. I don't know what the hell it is, but it's like some people are boob guys, leg guys, you know, whatever. Of course, I notice a pretty gorgeous face, whatever, but no yourself. I'm checking the feed out. And it's funny. When that came out, front page New York, my wife's going to freaking kill me, right, when that came out. But I'm like, damn, I can't tell you how many of my players came up and said, dude, I like feet too. And I'm like, hell yeah, dude, you're a freaking man. You know what I mean? Like, damn right. I don't know what it is, but now I have fun with it, and it's like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's who I am. I own that shit, and if a chick's got great feet, I'm looking.
100% that was Nick Mangold that said that to him.
There's Rex on the Pivot Pod. So is it fine? You think his wife gets mad if he's checking out? Because the guy tries to hide the head turn of checking out a girl's, like, rear end or something. Are you allowed to check out feet? Is that the same as checking out other body parts on someone?
This is like a Pulp Fiction discussion. Like if can you give the girl a foot rub?
Massage.
Which like can't. The answer's no.
Rex's wife has to see, you know, eye level for a quarterback is supposed to remain high. If his eye level drops down, she gets ticked off.
It's fantastic, though, if you're talking to another girl. Because usually, like, the guy's eyes will go to a certain part of
maybe
the body.
Maybe that's what Roy was doing at the Jerry party that year.
Absolutely. Very nice. But, you know, a lot of times,
the girl
will be like, dude, eyes up here. But if your eyes are down at her feet, she won't think you're checking them out, maybe. And this is, but now listen, if a girl walks in, if Sydney Sweeney walks in and her toes are pointing east-west, Sydney Sweeney can do whatever she wants still, right? I don't think Rex is throwing her out.
Ooh.
Do you have a weird?
No, but I like if they look like hobbit feet, like that might be a little weird.
A little hairy, yeah, but
that's a little tough to overlook. Yeah, I think if your significant other knows whatever your particular thing is, you're in jeopardy of look. But I don't know. They were weird because he was role playing with her and acting like he was somebody else anyway. So I don't know. She may be into it.
I don't get the feet thing.
Tolo, I don't either. Tolo Chad yesterday, love crosstalk. You heard Rex saying, if you're a real man, that was RJ talking about politics yesterday. And we have a male fire. And then your Kamala vote part of your email.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly didn't understand a single word.
I didn't think you would.
I had no idea what you were talking about.
Look, we have just gotten the most critical endorsement of the election cycle. And I'm not even taking part. This is completely a nonpartisan take. I'm just looking at this from an objective standpoint. Kamala Harris has locked up.
What's her name?
Kamala Harris has locked up the Juggalo vote.
The who?
The Juggalo vote. The Juggalo homies. She got the endorsement of Insane Clown Posse, ICP. And ICP is... Sean's clearly not familiar. Do you know about ICP?
Insane Clown Posse, I know who they are.
Yeah, and you've seen their fans that paint themselves up like clowns and go to their concerts. And there's a famous viral clip from back in the day of this guy going like, I'm the man I am today because of Jay and Shag. Like, that's... They're nuts about him. So for them to get... Especially them being from Michigan... Big deal up there in Michigan. For her to get the endorsement from ICP, that might tilt Michigan a little.
Plus, she has this musical endorsement, apparently, as well.
Now, notice my palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. Vomit on my sweater already. Mom's spaghetti. I'm nervous, but on the surface, I look calm and ready to drop bombs, but I keep on forgetting. I thought Eminem was going to be performing. I was going to jump out.
Bobby's the only one that
love me some Eminem.
It will never not be cringy to have any politician stand up there and start quoting rap lyrics.
That was so good. And 15 seconds, what's the fire? Male fire?
The male... I thought you meant male, like M-A-L-E. There was a... Phoenix, Arizona. We're having ballot issues again in Arizona, Chop. Somebody set fire to a USPS mailbox the other day. 20 ballots, 20 mail-in ballots were in there that they say are now damaged. They're like, well, we don't know. 20 people just lost their vote, I guess.
It's in Maricopa.
They're eating the dogs.
Copa County, Maricopa County. Very bad place. Very good place if they're voting for me.
Help us pick Sunday night. How the heck do you have a feel of Cowboys 49ers official picks and a Bobby Belt San Francisco Dark Roast you do not want to miss next?